The daf for today is daf Dalet Amud Aleph. We'll begin with daf Gimel Amud Beis. And we're starting with two lines up before the end of the Amud. V'rava mishmei d'rav Nachman Omar, kol amos bi'ama vashisha. Whenever you see a measurement of an amma, whether it's in the case of a mavui, or in the case of a sukkah, in the case of a kalayim, all the three cases that we discussed at great length yesterday, it's always an amma that has six tfachim. Ella, but if we're differentiating between the mavui and the sukkah on one side of the equation, and kalayim on the other side, and in the case of mavui, as in the case of sukkah, we need a smaller shear, and that was Abaye's position yesterday of five tefachim, whereas in Kelayim we need a larger shear of six tefachim, and according to Rava, the shear of an Amma is always uniformly six tefachim. How do we reflect this difference between Sukkah and Mavui on the one hand and Kelayim on the other? Halalu sochakos v'halalu atzevos. When you measure the tefach, and you are calculating the distance between this finger and that finger, then there are two ways of doing so. You have something called a tefach sochek, which in the plural is sochakos, literally translates laughing. In other words, there's a little bit of a, because when a person smiles, then his mouth widens. So we have a wider tefach, where there's more space between the fingers. That's called a tefach sochek. And in that case, you have a larger shear, which would be appropriate for kelayim. And then there's something called tefach atzev, in plural atzevos, which means when you have a sad face, a sour face, then there is no space between the lips. It's very tight. That's called mitzumtzum, very tightly put together. And the Rashba tells us that the difference between tefach sochek and tefach atzev is chatzi etzpa. So the tefach sochek is larger than the tefach atzev by a half of an etzpa. And with regard to a mavui and sukkah, there where we need a smaller shear, which if you remember Abaye had said it was a tefach of five tefachim, according to Rav it's going to be a tefach of six tefachim, but these tefachim at tefachim atzevos, and that's how you're going to get a small shear. Meisvei, the Gemara Sakasha. By the way, the Rashba here on the sugya for your own edification records a machlokes between the Baal HaMor and other Rishonim about Rav Shita. When Rav Shita is that you measure, for example, in Kelayim, in Amos Sochakos, is that referring to all the dinim of Kelayim straight across the board? And in the cases of Sukkah and Mavui, where we measure the Amma with Amos Atzevos, that also is all across the board. And that is the Shita of the Rashba, but the Baal HaMor Shita is that Rava is not saying something that's all across the board. It would depend, like we saw in the sugi yesterday, on where you're going l'chumra, where you're going l'kula. And in sukkah u'mavui, we're going to differentiate between those halachos where a smaller shear is l'chumra and those where a smaller shear is l'chumra, l'kula. And the same thing in the case of kilayim. Meisvei, the Gemara Sakasha, on Abaye, the Brisa says, "Kol ha'amo shomru chachomim bi'amo bashisha." Clearly indicating that every shear of an amo is always six tfachim. And now we're going to turn to Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Ubilvad shelo yu michuvanos. They shouldn't be the same amo, the same size amo in all cases. So the Gemara now analyzes this Braisa. Bishlei Marulu Rava, I understand according to Rava, the Braisa is pretty outspoken. It says that all Amos are Shisha Tfachim. again, we're going to differentiate in how to calculate the Amah, whether it's Sochakos or Atsevos. But according to Abaye, I mean, the Braisa is simply unintelligible, because Abaye holds that the Amah shifts between 5 Tfachim and 6 Tfachim. Now, when the Braisa says Ubilvad Shaloyu Mechuvanos, the Gemara interprets that according to Rava, Ki Hechi Delehavyan Halalu Sochakos, right, in the case of Kelayim, we're going to measure the Tfachim as larger Tfachim, and Valolu in the cases of Suk and Mavui, Atsevos, the smaller Tfachim, El Abai Kasha, what's Abai going to do with this Braisa? Amuch Abaye, Ema, I want to reinterpret this Braisa. And when the Braisa says, be amas kilayim, when the Braisa is talking about measuring the amos with 6 tfachim, it's only referring specifically to kilayim. And that requires an amah bashisha. But as far as sukkah and mavui, that was never a subject addressed by this Braisa. And there you would require a measurement of an amah which is made up of only 5 tfachim. So the Gemara says that we won't be able to maintain and sustain that interpretation of the Braisa of Abaye in the light of the Sefer of the Braisa. For Midik Tani Sefer, in the Sefer of the Braisa, it says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer. And the Braisa is now recording a dissenting view of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Kol amo shamru chacham bekelayim amo biyama bashisha. So that in the case of Kilayim, we need a larger shear of an Amma, as we discussed at great length yesterday, and therefore we're going to require an Amma, number one, that is made up of 6 Tvachim, number two, that is an Amma Sochekes, and not Mitzumtzomos. Mitzumtzomos means Atsevos. But from the fact that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the one who disagreed with the Rabbanon, and he focused his attention on Kilayim, that in the case of Kilayim, we have to guarantee that the shear of the Tefach is Atsevos, is Michlal. We can infer from that the Tanakama kol Amos Komar. The Tanakama holds that it's not limited to Kilayim, but all measurements of an Amo, which would include Sukkah and Mavui as well, are made up of 6 Tfachim. And that's against Abaye, who has the Amo Ketana 5 Tfachim. Omelch Abaye, so Abaye says the following, V'lav mi'ikar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel dekoy kavasi. It's not so terrible if the Tanakama disagrees with my interpretation and accepts the principle that every Amah is made up of 6 Tfachim. I could hold like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel is a great support for my Shita, because he holds that only in the case of Kilayim is the Amah measured with 6 Tfachim, but in cases like Sukkah and Mavui, apparently, you would measure the Amah with 5 Tfachim. Anad Diyamri ki Rav Shimon Gamliel. Abai says, I can accept the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara goes on to analyze. Li Abai Vade Tanoihi. According to Abaye, the issue of whether an Amma is made up of 6 Tfachim, or in certain cases, like in the cases of Sukkah and Mavi, of 5 Tfachim, that's Machlokas Tanoim. And Abaye reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the Tanakama holds that all Amos are measured by Shisha Tfachim. L'Rava Milema Tanoihi. According to Rava, shall we assume that his shita is also machlokas tanoim, in which case Rava reflects the shita of the Tanakama, but according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, the amos of Mavui and Sukkah are measured by 5 tfachim, the amah ketana, or shall we say that even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel could agree with Rava, and all amos are measured by 6 Tfachim. He's not coming to disagree with the Tanakama, he's rather clarifying the Tanakama, and he's explaining that in the case of Kilayim, we must measure Kilayim with a larger Amma, namely the Amma Sochekes. Amalecha Rava. Rava says, no, there's no machlokas here between the Tanakam and Rav Shim Gamliel. Everybody agrees that all amos are measured by six tvachim. Rav Shim Gamliel, ha'asal ashminon amas kelaim lo yitzamtzen. All that Rav Shim Gamliel is coming to add here and to clarify is that when we measure the amah for kelaim with six tvachim, then those tvachim are not tvachim atzevos, but rather they are tvachim sochakos. So the am of the kelaim should be sochakos, whereas the am of sukkah and mavui are atzevos. The Gemara now asks a question. If this is what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is coming to add here, according to Rava's interpretation of Olema, he should have just said amas kelaim lo yitzamtzem. That would have been sufficient. Why does he add amas kelaim be ama bas shisha? What do you mean bas shisha? Every ama is bas shisha. Why would Rav Shimon Gamliel, if he agrees with the principle of the Tanakhama that every ama is measured with six tfachim, why does he have to emphasize that amas kelaim is bas shisha? All measurements of an ama, whether it be for a mavui, for a sukkah, are always bas chamisha lemute mai. What is he coming to exclude? Lav. Doesn't it seem that he's coming lemute amas sukkah ve'amas mavui? Then in the cases of sukkah and mavui, we measure the ama based on five tvachim and not six tvachim, which means that Rava is like Abai, depends upon a machlokas tanoim, and he's going to have to accept the shita of the Tanakama, who maintains that all measurements of an ama straight across the board are shisha tvachim, whereas Rav Shim Gamliel differentiates between kelaim on the one hand, where the ama is measured with six tvachim, and sukkah and mavui on the other hand, where the ama is measured with five tvachim. Gemara says, lo. No. Rav Shim Gamliel also agrees that in the cases of sukkah and mavui, like kelaim, the ama is measured with six tvachim. Why does he emphasize that in the case of kelaim, you measure the ama with six tvachim? He's coming to exclude another case, a very unique case, in the Beis HaMikdash, where the measurement of the ama was a measurement of five tefachim. And until this point in the sugya, we were of the opinion that it's only Abaye who opens the possibility of an ama that's measured in five tefachim. Rava, straight across the board, without exception, maintains that an ama is six tefachim. Now the Gemara is saying, in the light of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's statement over here in this Braisa, we're going to arrive at a brand new conclusion that there is one area in the halachic universe where the ama enochinami is measured by five tfach. And that's lima'ute ama yisod, the ama sovev. We're talking now about a Mishnah in Masechta Midos that gives you the calculations of the dimensions of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, which stood in the Azara. And the Mizbeach was made up of different parts, which started on the bottom as wide, and they got more narrow and more narrow as you go up to the top until you get to the roof of the Mizbeach. The widest part of the Mizbeach is called the Yisod, and that's the first Amma as you go up from the ground. And that had a width of 32 Amma on 32 Amma. And then after that Amma Begova, after you went up one Amma in height, then the Mizbeach was, we'll call it, indented, and that area between the outer lip of the Yisod and the next part of the Mizbeach as it goes up, which was called the Sovev, and we'll explain why it was called the Sovev. The Yisod is obvious because the Yisod of 32 Amos is the fundamental base of the Mizbeach. And then after the Yisod, which went up for one Amma, we had an additional five tefachim from the ground, all of six tefachim of height, which was called the Sovev. And as I indicated before, the Sovev had a rochav, a width of 30 amma by 30 amma, and again a height of 6 amma from the karka. And then, once again, when you go beyond above the sovev, then you have another indentation in which you have the top part of the Mizbeach, which had a rochav of 28 amma on 28 amma. Now, the above the sovev, reaching the height of 6 amma, we have above, excuse me, the yisod, reaching a height of 6 amma, we have what's called the sovev. And because the sovev was wider than the next area of the Mizbeach, which we'll call, right now we'll call it the top area of the Mizbeach, there was a space, and that's where the Kohanim used to circulate around the top of the Mizbeach so that they could do the Avodah on the Mizbeach itself. And it's called a Sovev because that's where the Kohanim used to go around and around. And in each case, you have an extension, which in Hebrew is called a blita, so the yisod is bolate 1 amma from the sovev. The sovev itself also has a blita, and it goes all the way around the Mizbeach. Again, the yisod also goes around the Mizbeach, but there was one corner of the four corners where there was no yisod. That was called the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, the southeastern corner. And the reason for that is that's where they did what's called the Shvichas Shirayim, which Ritz Hashem, when we get to Zvachim, we'll talk about Shvichas Shirayim. The extra dam had to be poured over there on that part of the Yisod. And therefore, you cannot call the Yisod a Sovev. Anyway, that's just on the side. But the Sovev went completely around the entire outside of the Mizbeach. Now, as we climb up to the Mizbeach, we have now another 3 amos, and all told we're 6 amos high, and then we're standing at the gag of the Mizbeach, at the roof of the Mizbeach. On each one of the four corners of the roof of the Mizbeach, there was what's called a keren. There were four kronos, on which there was also a zrikas adam, and each one of those kronos had a height of 1 amma. So we have now, from the ground all the way up to the top of the kronos, we have 10 tvachim in height, and each one of these amos, whether it's in the yisod or in the sovev, has to be measured with an amma ketana, a smaller amma of 5 tvachim. And we're going to derive this from a pasuk in Yechezkel in Perek Mem Gimel, where Yechezkel is prophesying about the future third Beis HaMikdash, and it says Ve'elu midos ha-mizbeach ba'amos, amma amma v'tofach. Now amma amma v'tofach, the etz shetofach, means that the amma is itself an amma ketana of 5 tefachim, and then v'tofach you add a 5th tefach. And there are different parts of the Mizbeach. Some had to be measured with an amma, which means an amma ketana of 5 tefachim, as we mentioned before, the yisod and the sovev. And other parts of the Mizbeach had to be measured with the amma v'tofach, which means the extra tefach, bringing the amma up to 6 tefachim. And the pasuk in Yechezkel opens up the Ela Midos and now goes through 3 different sections. It says Cheka Amma, it says V'Amma Rochav, and then it says Ugvula El Sfasa Saviv Zeras Echad V'Zeal Gabi Mizbeach. Again, all these are measured with what's called an Amma Ketana of 5 Tefachim. And when the Gemara now explains each one of the different categories that are mentioned here by Yechezkel, the first category is called Chek HaAmma, and that is a reference to Yisod, the Yisod of Mizbeach, which again was 1 amma in height. And that Amma in height had to be measured by an Amma Katana of 5 Tefachim. Then we have the Amma Rochav, and that's the Sovev. And the Rochav is that Blito that we mentioned before of Knisas Aliyah Lekira Mizbeach, and that's an Amma again made up of 5 Tefachim. And then when it says Ugvula El Svasos Aviv, Elua Kronos. These are the chronos on top of the roof of the Mizbeach on all four sides, and their measurement had to be one amma in height, one amma in length, and one amma in width. And those amos were amos katanos of 5 tefachim. And then it says in the Pasuk, V'zeh gav ha-mizbeach, zeh mizbeach ha-zov. The mizbeach ha-zov had no yisod, it had no sovev, and it was made up of an amma arko, an amma rochvo. It was a relatively low, smaller mizbeach, and the amma of the orech and the rochav of the mizbeach ha-zov, which was the inner mizbeach and the heichal for the ketores, that was measured with an amma katana of 5 tefachim. Omar Abchia Bar Ashi Omar Rav. Once we've mentioned the shear of an amma, the Gemara goes now into a broader discussion of shiurim in general. And Rav Chia is quoted as saying that shiurim vechatzitim u mechitin halacha lemoshe misinai. Now, shiurim means that when the Chachamim say Yochai of Malkus for eating dam or chelev or nevela, whatever it is, the shear has to be a kizayis. Chatzitzin means that if a person goes into a mikvah and he has something that separates his body from the water of the mikvah, that's posel li tvila. Mechitza means a mechitza that surrounds a certain area. And the laws of mechitza require a minimum of 10 tefachim in height. All this is halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara right away asks, what do you mean, halacha l'moshe misinai? Shiurim doraisuhu. We derive all these halachas from the Torah itself, not from a halacha l'moshe misinai. Dechsiv, and we read this last Shabbos, the Torah says, Eretz, Chita, Usiora, V'gefa, V'teinu, Rimon, Eretz, Zeh, Shemen, Udvash, Omer Avchanan, Kol HaPosuk Hazel, Shiurim Nemra. Every phrase, every word in this Pasuk is teaching me a shiur. And these shiurim are the shvach of Eretz Yisrael, that their fruits will be measured, will be used as a measurement for the prohibitions of the Torah. And now Rav Hanan goes through each one of these various shiurim derived from, respectively, from different words in this pasuk. First, we start with chita, lechirisnan, and now we're talking about entering into a base hamenuga. If a person enters into a base habnuga, he automatically, immediately contracts tumah. If he carries kalim into the base habnuga, the kalim immediately contract tumah. However, there's a difference between kalim that are carried and kalim that are worn on his guf. If they're worn on his guf, then they are secondary to his body. It's like it's bottled to his body. And then those kalim, although they will contract tumah when they enter into a base habanukah, but not immediately, as we'll explain. So this is the Mishnah in the 13th parak of Negayim. Hanichnas a base habanukah v'kalev al kseifav. If he's wearing his clothing, he's not wearing his clothing, he's carrying his clothing, which are folded up on his shoulders, so that's not derech malbush, or sandolav biyadav, he's carrying his shoes, or taba oso biyadav, he's not wearing the rings around his finger, he's carrying them in his hand, so there's no levisha, and therefore these are kalim, even though normally you would wear them, but now they're just kalim. He's saying, hu vehem tmei miyad, when he goes into the base hamenuga, he contracts tumah immediately, and so too, anything that he brings in with him, any kalim, contract tumah immediately, as the pasuk says, vayikra yudalev haba el habayis, Kol Yemei Hezger Oso Yitma Ad HaOrev. However, here the Mishnah says, Hayalavush Kelo Visandol Baragl Vitaboso Betzvoso. If he's wearing these garments, or he's wearing the shoes, or he's wearing the rings around his finger, then although Hu Tomei Miyad, he's considered Baal Abayis, and he immediately contracts Tuma. Hain, but these other Kelim that he is wearing, Tahorim Ad Sheyisha Bichtei Achilas Pras. If he wears these begadim for just a very short second, and then he goes out of the Beis HaMenuga, they are saved from Tumah. They have to remain inside the Beis HaMenuga for a certain minimum Shehiyah, a certain period of time, and that minimum Shehiyah is Bichdei Achilas Pras. This is the shear of eating a pas, a loaf of bread that's made of chita, and that's what we're deriving from the pasuk chita. Now, pras means to split. So we're talking about eating half of a loaf of bread. And that's the shear, for example, of an eruv. If you want to set up an eruv, it's going to be a shear of a chatzi kikar lechem. And this is called mazon seuda achas. This is enough to keep you satiated for one meal. For one meal, M-E-A-L, right? And now that he's wearing these begadim, they are batel to his guf, and they're considered begadav. And the Chazal have a drasha that, as far as begadav are concerned, they will not immediately contract tumah when they enter into the Beis HaMenuga, unless they stay within the Beis HaMenuga a shear of kedei achila. And what is kedei achila? How long of a time period is that? How long would it take you to eat a half a loaf of pas chitin, of bread that's made of wheat? Apparently wheat bread can be eaten quicker in a shorter amount of time than pas siorin. If you make a piece of bread out of barley, it takes a little bit longer to eat. And kishu mesiv, in other words, he's not just standing around and eating this half a loaf of wheat bread, but rather he's sitting and eating it like he should be normal eating, which means he's sitting down at a table and eating it. So that is the shear of kedei achilas pas v'chein, and also ochel b'lifton. He eats the pas accompanied by whatever he eats with the pas, and that speeds up the process in which he eats the pas. Bottom line is, we derive from the pasuk chita the shear of shehiya bebeis hamenuga, which is kedei achilas pas chita. Vaita, the pasuk says, si ora, and that's going to teach me the halach of tumas mes when you have a corpse. Disnan, the Mishnah says in the second parak of Olos, etzem, if you have a bone of a corpse, and what is the minimum size of a bone of a corpse that generates tuma, bimaga ubimasa, if you carry it or if you touch it, kisi ora. Even if the bone has the small size of a kernel of barley, that's enough to incur or generate, shall we say, tumas mess of maga and masabeni matami b'oel. As far as an oil is concerned, if you only have an etzem, even though it has the shear of a sa'ora, you don't contract tumah in an oil. For that, you need basar min ames, a kezayis basar min ames, but that has to do with the tomb of oil. But as far as the tomb of magu maso, when you have contact or you carry an etzem, a bone of a mess, then the shear, the minimum shear of the size of the bone is kisi ora. And that's measured with its klipa, without its oketz, and apparently that shear is equivalent to a centimeter. Okay, you have different shitas here, a whole list of shitas of how large of a volume is etzem kisiora. But in any event, this is what we learn from siora. Gefen, now we go on in the pasuk, is kidei revius yain lenazir. It teaches me that if a nazir drinks a shear of a revius of yain, then he's chayav malkus for that. And Rashi comes under the attack here of Tosfos, because in effect the shear of Revius derived from Geffen is not similar to all the other derivations that we had. I mean, in the other derivations we spoke about the category of the pri, whether it was a chito or there's a sora. Here you're talking about Geffen, but you're talking about a shear of Revius. And Geffen means anova, means grapes. You know, it tells you that the Nazir is chayef for eating grapes. It doesn't tell you, you know, how much beverage that was, you know, grape juice that he drank is he chayef, the Nazir is chayef for a revius. So the Achronim here have a long discussion about how to justify Rashi and categorize this derivation of Revius Linozir from Geffen. And here we go on to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Te'ena, a fig, teaches us the shear for Hotzah and Shabbos. And that's the shear of Grogeris, a dried fig, Lehotzah Shabbos. So if a person takes food and carries it from Rosh HaYochid out to Rosh HaRab, or vice versa, he's not chayev unless he carries a shear, a minimum volume of a dried fig, Rimon. Now we go on in the pasuk. What is Rimon teaching me? And this has to do with Kalim. The Mishnah in Kalim tells us that if you have a hole in a kli, at some point the hole is large enough that you just throw away the kli. It's worthless. And it no longer retains its status of tumah. And the Mishnah is going to analyze what the size of the opening of this hole is in a broken kli. And the Mishnah differentiates between a kli that's owned by a balabayit, which means he uses it for his own personal use, as opposed to a kli of an uman, of a manufacturer, that he manufactures kelim for purpose of marketing them. In the case of marketing a kli, and the kli is owned by an uman, then even if it has the smallest hole, he's going to throw it into the rubbish bin, and it loses its shame kli, and paka to muscle. But we're talking now in this Mishnah about a kli of a balabayis, and the size of the hole in the kli, such that it doesn't even pay for him to hold on to the kli, is shi'urim kirimonim. If the hole is the size such that if you put a pomegranate into the kli, the pomegranate is going to fall through this hole. In such a case, nitar kli mitumasa, it has such a large hole in it that's not functional even for a large fruit. I mean, if you have a smaller hole, then perhaps it would hold on to a rimon, but it might not hold on to a zayas, for example. But here, even though the hole will allow a zayas to go through it, nevertheless the balabayis still wants to hold on to the kli, and he'll use it for storage of rimonim, which are large fruits, until he gets to the point where the hole is so large, even a rimon is going to roll out of the hole, fall out of the hole, and therefore it's not worth it for him, and the tumah is completely paka. Then the pasuk goes on and says, Eretz zeis shemen udavash, and the word Eretz here is an indication about Eretz Yisrael, that Eretz Yisrael kol shiurea kizesim, that there's something very special about the zayis, the olive, in Eretz Yisrael. It's singled out because all the shiurim are kizayis. So the Gemara says immediately, what are you talking about? Kol shiurek salkedaitach? How could you say that all shiurim are kizayis? Va'ika hani da'amaran. We have all these additional shiurim that we derive from the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's chita, si'ora, whether it's gefen. So what are you telling me that all the shiurim are kizayis? Ela'ema, but rather you have to reformulate this statement. And it's Eretz Sherov shiurea kizayisim. Most of the halachas of shear, like for example the shear of achilas chelev, achilas dam, achilas nosar, achilas pigel, achilas basar kodshim, achilas matzah, it's always going to be b'kezayis, and that's called eretz zayis. And then it says shemen udvash, and dvash is going to teach me the shear of achil on Yom HaKippurim for which you're chayev kares. The Torah says if you violate the Isur of Inui on Yom Kippurim, you're going to be chayev kares, menichrusai nefesh ahimei ameo. And what's the minimum size of food stuff that you ate on Yom Kippur to Inkarach Yivkares, it's got to be Kikoseves Hagasa. So the dvash that we're talking about in this pasuk, a lot of people don't know this, we're not talking about classic honey, we're talking about a date, and it's a large date, and when you crush the date, you get the honey of the date, so that's called dvash tmorim, and the large date is called a koseves hagasa, and that's going to be the minimum shear, this shear of a koseves hagasa of dvash tmorim for the chiyuv kares on Achila of Yom HaKippur. In any event, let's just summarize. What we learned from Rav Chanan is that all the shiurim that are applicable in various halachas are derived from a pasuk in the Torah. So then we have a kasha now on Rav. Rav was quoted as saying that the shiurim are halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So the Gemara answers, V'tizbra, and you think that all that we derived, according to Rav Chanan, are real drashos kiburos, as if it says in the pasuk? Shiurim michtav ksivei? The Gemara asks as a rhetorical question, are any of these shiurim written in the Torah? These shiurim that Rav Chanan mentions are all halacha l'Moshe miSinai. They're not explicit in the Torah. Ela hilchasod ninu vasmechinu rabbonon akroi. What Rav Chanan tried to do is he took the Kabbalah of Moshe miSinai, the halacha l'Moshe miSinai, in each case of each shiur, and he placed it back into the pasuk. But it's not that we derive it from the pasuk. The pasuk is nothing more than an asmachta for halacha l'Moshe miSinai. And the Rishonim have a machlokas here exactly what the word asmachta means. The Rambam writes in his Hakdama l'Pirush HaMishnayos that asmachta is something that's not really the subject of the pasuk. It's only a simon ledavar. It's a mnemonic device to help us remember the din. And it seems that there are other Rishonim that agree with the Rambam. However, the Ritva rejects this. And he's very ballistic about this Rambam. He thinks we can't chas v'shalom to say that. Asmachta is not just some sort of a simon or some sort of a memory device. But rather, if it has an asmachta, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of awakened us that we should derive this halacha from the pasuk. The Torah did not establish this as an explicit chova, but gave it over to the Chachamim and authorized them to decide whether it's a chova. And that gives an asmachta a very, very high status. Now, the Gemara goes on to ask a kasha on Rav. Rav says that the laws of chatzitza in Tvila and Mikvah are also derived from Halacha l'Moshe miSinai. So the Gemara asks, Chatzitza d'oraisa ninu. We have an explicit pasuk that teaches us that if the water of the Mikvah doesn't come immediately in direct contact to your entire body, then that's not called a Tvila. And Chatzitza, therefore, is derived from the pasuk, the Siv, in the Parasha Balkeri, in Vayikra Tezvav, it says, V'rachatz es kol b'soro b'mayim. And what does b'soro b'mayim mean? Besaro b'mayim means his entire flesh from head to toe has to be b'mayim. Now, when it says b'mayim in the parash of Baal Keri, we're not talking about what's called mayim chayim, because certain tumas, for example, if you contract tumas mes, you have to go into mayim chayim, that's a mayan, you know, some sort of natural spring of water. Here it says, b'mayim b'mei mikvah. Mikvah means collected water. When the rainwater falls down from the sky and is collected in one area, that's called mei mikvah. And as far as a balkeri is concerned, the pasuk says, b'mayim, referring to mei mikvah. So this again is mayim that's collected in a cistern, water that came from shamayim. Other tumas, like we mentioned before, tumas mes or zav, for example, that they require what's called tumah tara b'mei mayan, a natural spring water. In any event, it also says in this pasuk kol b'soro. What's the extra word kol b'soro? And the answer is mayim. This is a description of the water shekol gufo ola b'hem. That is enough of a volume of a water that he can cover his entire body in one shot, when he jumps into this body of water, Vekama Hain. Now, Kama Hain, first we have to describe the height of a person, the volume of a person's body, and then we have to convert that into a volume of water. And the answer is Ama al Ama Barum Shalosh Amos. So you have to have the width of an Ama, which will cover his shoulders as well, and Shalosh Amos Begova, which means that an average person is 3 amos high. And how much of a volume of water would supply enough water for the entire body to be dipped into the mikveh? It's Shiuru Chachom Mei Mikveh Bar Boim Sa. And we need 40 sa of water. That's the shiur, minimum shiur of a mikveh. Now, as far as chatzitza is concerned, we derive that from the pasuk, which says, V'rochatz is called b'sar v'mayim. Why then does Rav say the chatzitzin are halach l'moshmi Sinai? The Gemara answers that you're right. The din of chatzitza in and of itself fundamentally is derived from the pasuk. V'chi itzer hilchasa, but why do we need the hilchasa l'moshmi Sinai? For something that's attached and growing from his body, but it's not really part of his body. And that's called lisa'oro, his hair. Let's say he has a chatzitza in his hair. For example, let's say he has knots in his hair. That's why before a woman goes into mikveh, she has to be very careful about combing her hair, that there shouldn't be any knots in her hair. And all that, that there's a chatzitza in the hair, that's derived not from the pasuk, because the sair is not called besaro, but rather it's derived from Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, Ki de Rabba Bar Avhuna, the Omer Rabba Bar Avhuna. Now, Rabba Bar Avhuna is going to speak about knots in the hair. Now, it's interesting. If you have a knot in one single hair, that's called Nema. Nema is another word for Sa'ara, Achas, Kshura. So you take a hair and you tie it into a knot, then chotzetzes, meaning if you have only one string, the knot in the string is very tight, and water will not be able to go into that knot. The knot is not loose enough, and that's called a chatzitza. Now he has the other extreme. Let's say you take three se'arot, three hairs, and you tie them together. That's a loose knot. Einon chotzitzos, the water can get in. But in the case of shtayim, if you take two hairs and tie them together, eini yodea. Rabbah says, I'm not sure if that's a chatzitza or it's not a chatzitza. And the Gemara Masechta Nida quotes Rav Yochanan as saying, Anu ein lanu ela achas. In other words, we're not machmir in chatzitza unless there was a knot in one single hair. But if two hairs are knotted together, that's not a chatzitza, and that's how the Rambam paskins in the second in the second chapter of Hilchas Mikvos. In any event, we see that the Dikar din chatzitza on the basar is derived from the pasuk, but the din of chatzitza in the sear, in the hair, that's a halacha l'moshe Misinai. So the Gemara now asks the following question: Se'aro nami do raisahu? Why do you tell me that a knot in a hair is a psul chatzitza only based on a local moshe misinai? We derive it also from a pasuk, the sign we learned in the braisa. We're going to dash in a pasuk that says verachatz, was the pasuk that we had earlier. Verachatz b'mayim es kol b'soro, and the word s is always considered a ribui. And what does the word S come to include here? Hatofel libesar, something that's not really flesh, it's not his outer skin, but it's somehow connected to his skin. Vizel sear. So we see that the word S is going to teach me that there's a chatzitza in sear. I don't need halacha l'moshe misinai for that. So Gemara answers, you're right. The fundamental din of chatzitza and a sear we can derive from a pasuk b'chi is asoy hilchasa. Why do we need halacha l'moshe misinai lerubo ulemiuto ulemakpid usha l'sheino makpid? Okay, now we're getting the basic overview of the basic laws of chatzitza. In chatzitza, we're going to differentiate between a chatzitza on rov seyar as opposed to miut seyar. And we're going to differentiate between a case of makpid, where he doesn't want to keep this chatzitza, he wants to get rid of it, as opposed to a case of eno makpid, ukid Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak gives us the basic breakdown of the doraisas, the biblical psul of chatzitza, as opposed to the rabbanon that expanded the psul of the chatzitza. The Omer Rav Yitzchak, the Torah on a doraisa level, the Halacha Moshe Misinai tells me that although there is a din of chatzitza b'seyar, as we derive from the pasuk es b'soro, hatofel b'soro, but nevertheless, the Halacha Moshe Misinai comes to limit and restrict the scope of this psul of chatzitza in seyar, and it only applies to rubo, only if he has knots in most of the hair on his head, only in that case is that considered a chatzitza. And we'll soon see that the Rabbanon are going to expand the definition of chatzitza to include even mi'uto, but on a deraisa level, it only qualifies as a chatzitza if it's rov seyar. Number two, again on a deraisa level, even in a case where he has rov seros that are knotted together, it's only a chatzitza on a biblical level if it's makpid olav. In other words, he's very unhappy about the fact that his hair is full of knots, or for example, if he has some lichluch, some dirt on his body, he wants to get rid of that dirt, then it's chotzitz, which ain't no makpid olav. Then, even if there was chatzitza of rov, but he's not makpid on it, so most of his hair is full of knots, but he doesn't care one way or the other, is ain't no chotzitz. Why? Because then it's kind of part of his body. It's not a chatzitz. It's not a foreign element. Now, that's on a biblical level. Now, on a rabbanon level, the gazru al rov rubo sheino makpid. This is a double gzera. What do I mean by double gzera? The chachamim are going to say that, number one, if you have the first biblical condition, namely, you have rov, so most of his saros have a chatzitz in it, but it's eno makpid, which means we're lacking the second condition for a chatzitz. Nevertheless, the rabbanon are going to make it into a chatzitza, and they're going to disqualify the tefillah. Then, we have to know why the rabbanon instituted this gzera, and the answer is mishum rubo ha-makpid, because if you're going to allow him and qualify his tefillah in the case where he has rov chatzitza and it's not makpid, then tomorrow he's going to assume that he can be tovil even if he's makpid. He won't know the difference. So to guarantee that he won't come to jump into the mikvah when he has a chatzitza that he's makpid on, the Rabbanan therefore made a gzera even in the case of eno makpid. Then the Rabbanan went a step further and further broadened the scope of their gzera, and al mi'uto ha-makpid, in a case where he's very unhappy about these knots, and he's very mitztayer, he's makpid on them, but there's only a chatzitza in mi'ut, a small amount, a minority amount of his hair. Since he's makpid, the Rabbanon made a gzeir mishum rubo ha-makpid, and they say, well, if we're going to tell you that when you're makpid with a mi'ut, the tefillah is kshera, then you might come to be makshir even in a case of makpid when you have rov. So the Gemara says, why not go even one step further? V'ligzar nami al mi'uto she'eno makpid. What if you're lacking both conditions? So far the gzera only applied if you're missing one of the two conditions. It's either mi'ut or it's eno makpid. What if you have an absence of both of these conditions? It's mi'ut and it's eno makpid. There too, we should have a gzera mishum mi'uto ha-makpid. Right? If you're always worried about his confusing mi'ut with rov, or eno makpid with makpid, then even if we double up and we have mi'ut she'eno makpid, again, we should have a gzera, because he might come to mi'ut ha-makpid. Inami mishum rubo she'eno makpid. So the Gemara answers, he gufa gzera v'anan nekum v'nigzar gzera l'gzera. The chatzitza poseles in the case of Mi'uto HaMakpid, or Rubo She'eno Makpid, is itself a Gzeira Midrabbanan. So now we're going to get up and make a Gzeira because he might come to violate the Gzeira Midrabbanan. We don't set up one Gzeira to protect us from the violation of another Gzeira. Now the Gemara goes back to the third category of Rav, Mechitzin. And Rav said that the law of Mechitzin, namely 10 Tefachim Begova, that minimum requirement, is Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai. So Gemara right away attacks. The Mechitzos Do Raisin Inu. After all, we're going to derive Mechitzos from the Torah, from the Aron, the Ark in the Mishkan. The Omar Mar, because we have a statement. This is in the Gemara in Sukkah, quotes the same statement in the name of Rav. In Sukkah Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the shear of Mechitza is a minimum of 10 Tefachim in height. And we derive it from Aron. The Aron HaBris that stood in the Kodesh Kadoshim was 9 Tefachim in height. And that's explicit in Parashas Truma. It says there, V'ama V'chetzi Komaso. And Amma V'chetzi is the equivalent of 9 Tefachim. Right? 6 plus 3. And then it says HaKapores, which was the curtain that covered the Aron, had a thickness of a Tefach. And the Gemara in Sukkah answers the question, how do we know that the thickness of the Kapores was a Tefach? And if we add that Tefach, that gives an extra Tefach of height from the Kapores to the 9 Tefachim of the Aron, we get 10 Tefachim. Hare Kan Asara Tefachim. So the bottom line is that Rav derives that the conclusion from the Pasuk that the Aron was 10 Tefachim in height. Now, how does that set up a derivation of Mechitza? So that's a Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Hey. And the Gemara says that there are two Rishuyos, so to speak. There are two domains. There's the domain of the Shechina, which is high, and then there's the domain of Aretz, which is low. And what separates the higher realms where the Shechina is to be found from the lower realms? From Aretz? And the answer is that the Shechina will only go down to the level of the top, tippy top of the Aron. And that's also based on True Parshas Truma, where the Torah says, V'dibarti itcha me'al ha-kapores, which means that the Shechina is on top of the Kapores, and that's above Asar Tefachim. The Shechina would never go down lower than Asar Tefachim, because that's already considered the Rishus, the domain of the Aretz. And we have a principle that Lo Yarda Shechina Lo Aretz. And now that we see that the Aretz is a Rishus unto itself, separate from anything that comes above 10 Tefachim, it means that up until 10 Tefachim we have Mechitzos that separate and specify a Rishus. So Gemara answers, so why does Rav need Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai Lo Tzricha Ela, but rather he needs it Le Rabbi Yehuda Di Amar. Rabbi Yehuda says that all the Amos in the Mishkan had a uniform size. Amas HaBinyan Bi Amah BaShisha. Then if we're talking about measuring the Amos of the building, of the structure of the Mishkan, which means what we call Kroshim and Yerios, that's always measured with an Amma of 6 Tefachim. But when it comes to Kalim, the Amas Kalim, the Amma Bas Chamisha, 5 Tefachim. Which Kalim are we talking about? We're talking about the Aron, and we're talking about the Mizbeach, we're talking about the Shulchan. In all those Kalim, when we measure the Kalim with an Amma, it's an Amma made up of 5 Tefachim. And if that be the case, the Aron has an entirely different height than what we call Asar Tefachim. To derive the Mechitza of Rishus HaYochid from the Aron is impossible, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because the shear of 10 Tefachim is the shear of 10 of a Mechitza, whereas in the case of the Aron, we're talking not about 10 Tefachim, but we're talking about an Amma of 5 Tefachim. Which means that if we calculate the height of the Aron, according to Rabbi Yehuda, in Tefachim, and we say it's an amma v'chetzi, then you end up with 7.5 tfachim. And if you add the tefach of the kapores that was on top of the aron, because we said that the Torah says the aron is amma v'chetzi begova, so you end up with 8.5 tfachim. No way, no how can you learn and derive from the aron, according to you, the shear of mechitza v'asara tfachim. So the Gemara asks, but what about Ula Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Meir is the dissenting view, and he rejects Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer, he says, call Amos, all the Amos, whether it's the Amos for the crushing and the building of the Mishkan, whether it's the Amos of the Kalim Hayub and Beinonios. Beinonios means your average Amo, which is made up of six Tfachim, Ma'ikal and Memar. So then we really don't need Alokh L'Moshe Misinai, because the height of the Aron was Enam Chinami, 10 Tfachim, and that set up the Rishus Ha'aretz. The more answer is, L'Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, ki asoy hilchus, so why do we need a halacha l'moshe misinai for the laws of mechitzos? It's for other laws of mechitzos, and the Gemara enumerates three basic laws of mechitzos that are very unique, very magical. These are what we call imaginary mechitzos, and those laws of mechitzos are derived from halacha l'moshe misinai. Number one, we have what's called good. Okay, now good, which means to stretch, goes in two different directions. We have good asik, which means that we have a mechitza on the bottom and we stretch it, imagining it as if it goes up. And then we have something called good achis, which means stretch it down. If we have mechitza on top, we imagine the mechitza going down. These are halacha l'moshe misinai. Then we have lavud. Let's say you have mechitza that has a certain opening in it. If that opening is less than three tfachim, then we consider it sasum, as if it was filled in, and that's the law of lavud. And it's as if the mechitza were a mechitza shlema. The word lavud means a branch, a sniff, which is, a branch is usually considered something that starts out thick, but it gets thinner. And the thinness of the area is called lavud. And then we have a dofen akuma. You remember that we discussed the case where he has an opening in his roof, and he puts tzchach on the opening in his roof. And if the distance between his tzchach and the wall on the right, meaning the extra gag space, is less than four amos, then the dofen is considered a dofen akuma, and that extra roof space on top is an extension of the wall of the mechitza, and therefore the sukkah is kshera. And all these dinim of god, of good, of lavud, of dofen akuma are all derived as unique dinim in mechitza from halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, as an introduction to tomorrow's daf, in the next 2 minutes that we have, we're going to go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hayo gavoa miyesrim ama. If the Mavui has an opening which is higher than 20 Amma, and he puts a Korah above 20 Amma, then it's Psula. And Ubalamait, now he has to make sure that the Chalal, the airspace, is less than 20 Amma, is Kama Yamait. The Gemara wants to know, how much should he lower that space and reduce the Chalal? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? What kind of question is that? Kama Yamait. Whatever he needs. So, for example, if the Korah is 21 Amos, then he has to be Mamayit 1 Amo. If it's less or more, he has to respect it. So, what was your question about Kama Mamayit? Ella, but rather the question was Rachvo Bekama. We're talking about the Rochav of the Mavui. And what we need to do is, in order to be mamayit the chalal, to minimize the airspace here, so to make sure that the airspace up to the korah is less than or equal to 20 amma, not more, he's got to do a landfill, or he has to put some sort of a permanent something on the ground so that when he steps into the mavui, he's elevated, and therefore he diminishes and reduces the chalal. Now, how far into the Mavui does he have to do this? How extended does this itzdaba, which is a little like a stool or some sort of landfill of afar. How much into the mavi does he have to go? Rav Yosef Amar, tefach. All he needs is the equivalent of the width of the korah. In other words, if you would look up from where you're standing on this landfill, directly up, you will see a korah, and the korah has to have the width of a tefach. So therefore, this landfill has to be one tefach in rochav. Abai Omar arba tefachim. Abai says you have to go into the mavui with this landfill four tefachim. And the Gemara says, lema b'hakam miflagi, and that's where we're going to stop for today. And in Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow on Daf Hey Omid Aleph, we're going to try to offer about four or five different possible interpretations of this machlokus between Rav Yosef and Abai as far as the minimum of the landfill, how far and deep into the mavui does it have to go, whether it's like Rav Yosef would have it, only one tefach is sufficient, or according to Abaye, we need four tefachim.